Welcome to High Point Church. My name is Trey Dickerson. We hope you enjoyed today's message. And if you do, please like it, please comment, and let us know that you enjoyed it. Praise God. Well, we're going to continue on with our series this morning on the subject of praise, and the title of the series is Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we're kind of gearing up toward the end of it, but that doesn't mean we're going to stop praising like we've been praising. Amen. And so as we enter into the Christmas season, you know, the Lord will have some things for us. But today I'm really excited about some of the things that God wants to share with us as we continue to look at the various Hebrew words for praise. And we're learning some pretty awesome stuff about what praise is, what praise looks like. And you know what we've been learning? Just how demonstrative. Roar! That's Bruce's pun when we do that. You get it? Demonstrative. All right, anyways. So we're learning just how demonstrative. But you know what, Bruce? I looked up the word demonstrative and looked up some synonyms. And these are some synonyms for the word demonstrative. It means to be expressive, unreserved, and emotional. To be expressive, unreserved, and emotional. And so this is exactly what we've been seeing through these Hebrew words for praise, that praise involves a lot more expression in an unreserved and even emotional manner. Now, why is this important? Because I think we've been taught through a lot of New Testament churches that we're a part of and maybe grew up and were raised in that you just don't get emotional for the Lord. We're called to do something a little bit different under this new and better covenant, and that is worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we don't want none of that emotionalism in this place, but that's not what Jesus meant. He wasn't substituting spirit for emotion. He was saying that now, being a born-again believer, you're going to be able to connect with a spiritual God in a way that the Old Testament saint couldn't. But that doesn't mean you throw the baby out with the bathwater. You're still dancing, whirling about, jumping for joy, acting like a madman when you praise the Lord. God gave us our emotions. Now, you shouldn't be led around by your emotions. And that's the problem with most people, is that they're being led by how they feel. Well, I feel like doing this, or I feel like not doing that. If I show up to church today and I feel like praising the Lord, I'll do it. But if I don't feel like it, I'm not going to do it. Well, you're in bondage to something if you do that. Amen. We choose as an act of our will. The Spirit is willing to praise the Lord out of our spirit man, which will certainly involve some expression and some demonstrative behavior. Amen. So we've been learning some really cool things about this. We've been going through the various Hebrew words. One word was halal that Minton referred to earlier, and it's the common word for praise. It's used over 150 times in the Old Testament, and we found out how that word does involve a lot of this expression. Then we looked at the word todah, which is the word for thanksgiving, and we found out the role that thanksgiving plays in our praise. And then on the week following that, we looked at why we do the various things we do during praise, like lift our hands, jump for joy, dance and whirl about. And we found that there were actually words in the Old Testament that described this. Amen. So if you went to an Old Testament praise service, amen, what are you going to see? You're going to see some people acting crazy, acting like madmen, acting actually excited about the things we say we believe. Amen? And that's really what it boils down to. Just things getting in your heart enough to where you're getting so excited and you don't care what other people think because it's unto the Lord and you are so excited about the salvation that you have been provided through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that you are so excited about it that you actually show some expressive behavior. Amen. And then last week what we looked at was the important role that lifting your voice plays in praising the Lord. And we found that there were actually several different Hebrew words that describe lifting your volume, shouting, and making a loud noise unto the Lord. Now, I know there's a lot of people when they hear that, they'll say, well, that's just not my temperament, Pastor. Well, we need to maybe change our temperament. Amen. We might need to learn how to be a little bit different and praise the Lord in the way that He tells us that we should. You know, because you the things you're excited about, you lift your voice about. You know, some of you that say, well, I just don't believe you do that. I don't ever do that, Pastor. Oh, really? You have a little kid run out in the middle of the road and a car's coming to hit him. Are you going to say, Johnny, look out for that car? Or just say it in your heart? No! You're going to shout it out because little Johnny's important to you. Well, big Jesus should be equally as important to you. And it's going to cause you to shout it out. Amen? So we went through a lot of different words, but one of the awesome things we learned is that the Hebrew word shabak, that when it talks about us lifting our voice and showing this high volume to the Lord, that it actually also means to soothe, still, or pacify the winds and waves of this life. Which teaches me something, that perhaps one of the reasons why the waters rage so much in our lives, or the devil is constantly harassing us, is because we haven't gotten loud enough. We hadn't gotten serious enough to where we're saying, that's enough, devil. When you finally get tired, sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you get serious about it, and you put your foot down and say, no more, and it comes up out of your heart, and you start praising the Lord in that way, I guarantee you mountains move, seas get calmed. Things happen more when you get serious about it. How many of you have ever learned that? That when you really started seeking the Lord for something, and I'm talking about this actually happens in very few Christians' life, more than once or twice. But when you really get serious about something, when something's really important to you and you pray about it and you set your heart to seek it, have you ever noticed that when you get that much into it, it always works? I can give you tons of testimonies about how it works that way when you really roll it all off on the Lord. Well, it's the same thing with praise. When I get serious about praising the Lord, boy, those waters get calmed. And the walls of Jericho come down. And that's what we learned last week about just how our volume shouting because the Lord has given us the city is what causes the strongholds in our life to come crumbling down. That Bible story is not in there just to give us a good Sunday school message. It's in there to show us how to live. That when we follow the directions of the Lord and we lift our voice with a voice of triumph, walls come down, strongholds that keep us shut up, that keep people out and keep us from being free, they come down when we praise the Lord like that. So today I want to get into something a little bit different. We're going to look at two Hebrew words today, and one of them answers a question that I think is very important to ask. And it's this: we're learning what praise is, right? And everything we're learning about what praise is, from the shouting, the dancing, the lifting of the hands and everything like that, that's something just a normal individual can do. And I think that's important to know because what it teaches us is anybody can do it. All you got to do is have a voice, have some hands, and have somewhat of strength in you to be able to praise the Lord. You don't need any other stimulation whatsoever. But I think a question that needs to be asked is, if that's what praise is, based on what we've seen, where do instruments come into play? Why do we have instruments? Well, I'm going to show you that there's a Hebrew word for praise that involves instruments. And it's absolutely scriptural of why we use them and why we use the various ones that we use. So let's go in our Bibles, first of all. Well, in fact, before you go to it, let me just give you what the Hebrew word is that I'm referring to. It's the word zamar, spelled Z-A-M-A-R, zamar. And, you know, before I get into all this, I somewhat try to make an effort to say these words correct, but I'm a bacon-eating Gentile. You got to understand that. So I don't necessarily speak good Hebrew. In fact, some people would argue that I don't speak good English either. So how are you going to expect me to use other languages right? So I'm just going to say them the way that they sound, all right? So zamar, and notice what it means. To pluck the strings of an instrument. To pluck the strings of an instrument, to sing, to praise, and it's a musical word which is largely involved with joyful expressions of music and musical instruments. So this Hebrew word for praise means to play upon an instrument, to make music, and yes, it is accompanied by a voice, hence to celebrate in song and music and to sing forth His praises. Amen. Now, in the initial times that this Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament, it's actually used around 30 times to describe singing His praises. To sing His praises. So it obviously refers to the voice, right? But what I want you to really understand and what you're going to see today is how our song can come forth in various ways through instruments and through the voice. And what we're going to see is the effects that that anointed music has on us and the devil. Now, I want to show you a few verses where this word zamar is used, and it's going to open your eyes to a few things. So I'm not going to have you turn to all these verses. We'll have them up on the screen, but make notes of them if you're taking notes today. Psalm 33:2. We'll start with this. Psalm 33:2. It says, "Praise the Lord with the harp." Now, the word that's used for praise there is not halal. It's not any other word. It is the word zamar. So what's he saying? That you zamar the Lord, you make music and use instruments, and it's why it's understandable why he says what he does. Praise the Lord with the harp. That's an important word. Look at Psalm 71:22. It says in Psalm 71:22, "Also with the lute I will praise you, and your faithfulness, O God, to you I will sing with the harp." The word sing there is the word zamar. So what's he saying you're going to sing with? The harp. Psalm 98 verse 5. Psalm 98 5 says, "Sing to the Lord." There's the word zamar again. "Sing to the Lord with the harp." With the harp and of the sound of a psalm. Psalm 144 verse 9 says, "I will sing a new song to you, O God. On a harp of 10 strings, I will sing zamar to you." And finally, Psalm 149, verse 3 says, "Let them praise His name with the dance. Let them sing praises to Him," that's the word zamar, "with the timbrel and the harp." Now, where are you going with this, Pastor? I want you to notice that in all these references, the psalmists say that you praise Him with this particular instrument, with the harp. Now, this brings up an interesting question. Some of the scriptural purists out there would say, well, that's the way you praise the Lord, so I guess we need to get us a harp up here on stage, and we need to get rid of the rest of all these instruments, and we need to start praising God that way. Not necessarily. You got to understand something. Like, for example, in the book of Revelation, when God started showing John things that are going to happen in our generation, I believe, things 2,000 years after, and he starts showing him technology and various things that will be happening 2,000 years later, how in the world is John going to know how to describe something that hadn't been invented yet? Right? So there's going to be some things in the Bible that you need to understand are unique for the culture of their day. And it's obvious that the harp was one of the main instruments, or at least it was to David, that they used to praise the Lord, right? Now, why is this important? Because what it shows us is, it's not what the instrument is. It's the heart of the one playing it. You following what I'm saying? God's not hung up on whether something has strings, or whether something's a horn, or whether something has keys. He doesn't really care too much about that. What he cares about is our heart when we're playing these instruments and how we are praising the Lord. So this is something that's really important to get. And I'll tell you, you know why it's important? Because I've been in church long enough to know that there are some pretty strong opinions in people like yourself who sit in pews a lot like this about what instruments we should be using. In fact, when I first came to this church, you know, we had more of an elderly congregation during that time, and really good people that loved the Lord, knew how to pray, and good and this and that. But that don't mean you can't have some squirrely thinking too. And one of them was this. I had a lady come to me one time and say, because we had a praise and worship leader came in that was playing the acoustic guitar. And somebody came to me and said, "I don't like all that guitar strumming." And I told that lady, I said, "It wasn't for you." She didn't laugh like you just laughed right there, Mark. I can promise you. She didn't necessarily like that. But the truth is, it's not for us in what we prefer and what we like. It's about what the Lord likes. Now, but I give grace for that because you got to understand something. Most people relate praising the Lord to what was being used when their heart was touched. So with a lot of people, if you go back a few generations, piano was what was being used. If you go a few more generations beyond that, you might find a harp somewhere, right? So there is various generations that think this is better, and then there's other ones that think this is better. And the truth is, nobody has a full handle on all these things. The fact is, we live in a culture that uses certain instruments, and we have certain inventions, and I believe the Lord is blessed when we use any of those things. But what's so awesome about it is how you can use any instrument to be able to praise the Lord. Amen. If I just choose to do that. Amen. Now, for most of us in here, and I'm specifically referring to myself today, we're not all so inclined to play certain instruments. I would venture to say, who in here, raise your hand if you can, well, let me say it this way. If you can, to where other people can tolerate it pretty well, play an instrument. Raise your hand. Can you play an instrument? Yeah, see, that's the minority. So most of us can't do that. So does that mean that none of us can zamar the Lord if we don't know how to praise? No. God is so good that we live in a generation to where technology has provided every person in this place with the ability to make music to the Lord. And it might just simply be popping a CD in the CD player. Or pulling up an MP3 and playing something in your car. Whatever, you get my point, is that every single person in here has the capability to zamar the Lord, to provide music that is praising the Lord. But again, am I praising the Lord just because I pop a Hillsong or Bethel CD in? No. It's when my intention is to praise the Lord and my heart is involved in the praise instrument that I am using. That's what's important. Amen? So every single one of us can obey this praise word and praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. Now, this is what's so awesome about it. And this is a point I really felt led to camp on for a minute this morning. Is, do you remember the story in the Old Testament where Saul was being vexed by an evil spirit? Do you remember that? Because he had made some poor decisions and the demonic would just come and just harass him. And some of the people around him, some of his servants said, "Hey, go find a guy that's skilled in playing a harp, and go find this guy and let him come to play, because perhaps it'll make that evil spirit be soothed in him. It will cause him not to be vexed by that thing." And what did they do? They found David, who wasn't just a guy that was skillful in playing an instrument, but he was anointed. And I'll tell you, that right there is what's important. When it comes to this whole instrument thing or singing, it's not talent that draws people. The anointing is what we look for. The Lord gave me a statement one time about that. He said this. He said, talent will bring an increase of people. Anointing will bring an increase in people. I'll say that again. Talent will bring an increase of people. Anointing will bring an increase in people. And that's what we're interested in. Not just numbers, but change and transformation in the numbers we have. And then numbers will be added when that happens. When people's lives get changed, that's why we don't do a lot of advertising for our church. We could go buy a billboard just like Reverend so-and-so down the street. We could go through all these different things to try to draw people to us. You know what we'd rather have happen? Your life be transformed, and then you go tell everybody. That's how you grow a church. Amen. So to me, we need to learn that the anointing is really what we're looking for. And what would happen? David came, and when he would play that harp, the demons would leave Saul. He'd get relief. Amen. Showing us what anointed praise, songs, and instruments can produce in our lives if we're possibly being vexed by something. Now, this is something I can personally tell you after I was studying this week. I haven't esteemed the way that I need to. Because I'm actually in the minority here in that I've gotten the revelation that praise is something you don't need instruments to do. Any person can just praise the Lord at any time, and you don't necessarily have to have music accompanying that. But what I found is that the music can certainly accompany that praise and produce power. So I can make it more effective by simply popping in a CD and playing different things. Like, for example, when I go to the gym, Wendell, you know what I do? I pop those earbuds in, and I listen to praise music. And I come to find out, I feel like Samson, baby. Oh, praise the Lord. I mean, just feel like I'm getting some anointing and some grace that helps me. That's how I got so buff like I am, baby. Y'all. Hey, David looked like a little guy, but he was slaying thousands. Praise the Lord. It's the anointing that destroys the yoke. Glory to God. It says that in Isaiah chapter 10. So my point is that the instruments and the music and all of these things play an important role to expelling the demons and exalting the Lord. Which leads me to my next point. The next Hebrew word I want to share with you this morning is, again, I'm not pronouncing them the way they are in the normal Hebrew way, but it's the word Tehillah. Tehillah. Some of y'all need to go get your hearing checked out. And I ain't gonna say it. I'm not gonna say it. As much as you try to pull it out of me this morning to say what I know you're thinking, I ain't gonna say it. But I will give you something that I think will help you to remember this Hebrew word, the word Tehillah. You ready? And it's kind of like with a little instrumental thing that goes like this. Ba-dum, ba-da-da-dum, bum-bum. Ba-dum, ba-da-ba-dum, bum. Ba-dum, ba-da-ba-dum, bum-bum. Ba-dum, ba-da-ba-dum, bum. Now, and I think this is where the saxophone comes in. If you said tequila, you need to come to this altar at the end of the service and get prayed for. We ain't talking about tequila. We're talking about Tehillah. And this word, Tehillah, aren't you thankful for your crazy pastor in this place? Some of y'all are visiting us for the first time, and you're like, what kind of church did I get drugged to today? Hey, but guess what? You ain't never, ever, ever going to forget that word, are you? I done cemented it in your heart, praise God. What did Pastor preach on today? Tequila. Now, let me tell you what this word is. It's an interesting word. I told Minton before the service, I said, you're going to be even more ashamed of me after this Sunday because I knew what we were doing. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, I'll give you the spelling. There is no Q in it. It is T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. T-E-H-I-L-L-A-H. Now notice what this word means. This is so good. In fact, you're going to be really amazed when you learn what this word is and then where it's used, what verses it's used in. It describes the singing of halals, the singing of those praises, the common word for praises. It means to sing or to laud with hymns of praise. To sing or to laud someone with hymns of praise. So while other usages of praise can describe simply declaring God's praises, this word, notice this, specifically refers to the singing of His praise. Do you see the difference there? Instead of just praising the Lord by saying something, you're actually singing His praises. In other words, Tehillah describes the songs one sings to praise God. And if you notice, one of the words that was used when we said that was the word hymn. H-Y-M-N. Now, when I use the word hymn, this, I'm going to show you how religion and tradition has perverted our minds to what these things are. When I use the word hymn, what you thought of was old songs sung out of an old book by old people. That's what most people think of when you think of hymns. And a lot of churches say, oh, we don't want that. We want this more modern style praise. What you find out, though, when you look the word hymn up, is it literally means songs of praise. So you know what that teaches me? Every Sunday, we're singing hymns in this place. And it's not just a hymn because it was recorded in a book. Now, this brings up another interesting point, like I was making with instruments, of the very strong dogmatic views that people have. If you say demonstrative that it's R, then I guess if I say dogmatic, you should go rough. Isn't that right, bro? No, but very dogmatic views of these kind of things of, oh my gosh, what songs we sing is so important. I'm going to show you today how, like it is with instruments, nobody's right on this. There were benefits to the older style of hymns that we would sing and the choruses in church in yesteryears. And you know what one of them was? In fact, Betty Jean, you reminded me of this because Minton was teaching on a healing school not too long ago and he was reading some verses simply out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 about how we receive our glorified and resurrected body and various things like that. And Betty Jean came to me after that Thursday morning healing school and she came to me and said, we used to sing all those songs in church. And do you know what caused her to remember that? Because they were scriptural. They were plain scripture. And there are actually real benefits to the older style of hymns because guess what? They were very informational. They taught people doctrine. It grounded people in the truth because you had these very wordy songs, of course, but they were songs that made sure you understood the truth. How is that a bad thing? But then you get that same group of people that esteem that, and when we sing a song on a Sunday morning that repeats the same line over and over and over and over again, they're like, they just don't, what do they say that? It's a 7-11 song, right? You sing the same verse 11 times, seven different ways or something like that. People don't like that because they think it's too repetitive. But the benefit of that is I get the opportunity to camp on a certain truth so that I can get to the place of pouring my entire heart out into that one statement in praise to God. So which one's better? Neither. They both have their use. They both have a benefit. So when we talk about things like this, get the religious way of thinking out of your mind. And understand what's really important, like I said to that person with the guitar strumming. It's what the Lord wants. What blesses Him. What ministers to His heart. That's what's important. Because the praise service is for Him. This part of the service is for you. But during that time, it only matters what's important to him. It only matters what's valuable to him. What does the Lord lead? And I'm so thankful for a praise and worship team that when Cameron and Brian choose the songs, they do a great job of choosing songs that I call vertical worship. Because the real issue that I got, yeah, get my hand. The real issue I don't like, all right, stop. You're going to get them all puffed up. What I don't like, and it's not because of my tradition, my age, or my experience with God. What I don't like are songs that are, during the song service, me talking to you. Or me talking to you. I want to get my attention on the Lord. How can I praise the Lord? How can I glorify Him? So they do a great job. You're blessed to be a part of a church that really chooses songs that does put the attention over on the Lord. And sings hymns. Now, I want to close with this because this is a really important point. The words that the scriptures that this word Tehillah is used in, you're going to find out, wow, I didn't know that verse. I love that verse, but I didn't know the word Tehillah was used in this. I'm going to give you four verses, okay? Psalm 34, verse 1. You can turn to these if you want to. Psalm 34 and verse 1. This is a great verse. I love this verse. Boy, there's a lot. I could camp on this verse for months and teach you a lot of good stuff about it. But what does he say? Psalm 34:1. That's Isaiah 34:1. Psalm 34:1 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now we're going to look at what the word for bless is next week. But notice what he says. I will bless the Lord at all times. His Tehillah shall continually be in my mouth. What? Songs of praise. So what he's specifically saying is here, David was saying, what's going to stay in my mouth is what? A song. Not statements, not just words, but a song. You know what I've come to find? Some of the happiest people on this planet are people that keep a song in their mouth. Like good old Alan Hornaday back there. He's always singing. My wife's always humming, thank God. She knows I'm messing with her. No, she's singing all the time and she stays happy. She's happy all the time. Amen. And so what we learned through this is David was saying his praise, his Tehillah, his songs, his hymns are continually in my mouth. You know why this is important? Because I was one time asking the Lord, I like so many Christians, I would have times where I was abiding in the Lord, dwelling in Him, and boy, it was just awesome. Those great times when you know you're in the right place. You know what I'm talking about? To where your relationship with the Lord is right, you're connected with Him, and you sense peace. You sense joy. It's producing good life. Well, we all have, hopefully, have had times like that, right? But guess what? It's hard to abide there. It's hard to stay there. You can feel that way first half of the day, second half of the day, you acting like you're demonstrative. Right? And all this kind of stuff happens. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, teach me to abide in You. Show me how to remain, stay, dwell in You. This is what the Lord said to me. When I was praying that, Lord, teach me how to continually abide. That's what I was saying. You know what He said? Through my own mouth, I'm requesting that. And the Lord said, let Your praise be continually in my mouth. That became my request. So what was happening? The Holy Spirit was telling me this is the right way to pray. To continually abide. In other words, the way you continuously abide in the Lord is by letting His praises, His songs, be continually in your mouth. So it keeps me in that place where the devil leaves me alone. I'm connected. I got peace. I got joy. Various things. Good lesson there, isn't it? Now, here's another one. Another verse, common verse that we like to use for praise all the time. Psalm 100, verse 4. We've used this verse many times already in this series. But notice what he says. Enter into his gates with toda. You remember that? Thanksgiving. And into his courts with tehillah. So specifically what he's saying right here is, yes, you enter into his gates. This is how you get into the presence of the Lord. With being thankful, choosing to thank God for specific things. But once I go through the gate, what's the next response? Hymns, songs coming out of my mouth towards the Lord. That's what leads me through his courts, which will eventually lead me into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of the Lord inhabits. Oh, thank you, Lord. Let me give you a couple more, and then we're going to get to practice. Psalm 22, verse 3. Psalm 22, 3. Yeah, I'm jumping all over the place. I like this one right here. Psalm 22, 3. You've probably heard this verse quoted. You might have heard it in a different way. In the New King James, it says, "But you are holy, enthroned in the tehillah of Israel." You might have known this verse to say, "But Lord, you are holy, God who inhabits the praises of his people." Which inhabits is actually a better translation here because it describes his dwelling place. So what does that show us? That God lives, dwells, and abides where? In the tehillah of his people. So, in other words, God shows up and manifests himself in the place where people are singing halals to him. This is so good. If this ain't lighting your fire, your wood is wet, man. You need to go dry out somewhere and get excited about the things of God. Thank you, Lord. And then, well, let me say this. This is an important point. If God dwells there, guess what doesn't dwell there? Sadness, mourning, grief, and depression don't. That doesn't mean you won't have things like that come against you in life and you won't have moments and things like that. But the fact is, if a person is dwelling in the fullness of God's presence, what does the psalmist say? In his presence is fullness of depression, sadness, grief, mourning. No! When you are in the full... I'm trying not to yell over the microphone. Somebody texted me this week and said, "You bursted my eardrum on Thursday morning one time when you yelled." So, I'll try to be quiet. But I can't just help myself. It's so good. God lives there, and when he does live in praise, depression goes bye-bye. Like a bird out of a tree. When I'm singing praises unto the Lord. Oh, I make sure I didn't split my pants there. Praise the Lord. Last one, Psalm 61. I don't know about y'all, but I'm glad I came this morning. Amen. I'm enjoying this. Psalm 61. Now, another verse you're familiar with. Let's start in, is that verse 1? Okay, yeah, let's just read the whole thing. "Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer." I don't know if this is the right one. What's verse 2 say? All right, that's not the right one. I gave you the wrong verse. My bad. This is the one that says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." Okay. Okay. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me." To do what? To preach good tidings to the poor. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to those who are bound." Look at verse 2 now. "To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God." And now I want you to notice this. "To comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of..." Da-da, da-da, na, na, na. Tehillah. The garment of praise for what? Spirit of heaviness. So you know what that teaches me? That tells me if I'm being enveloped in mourning and grief and I need some joy in my life and I got a spirit of heaviness trying to come in, and it's going to hit all of us. It'll happen. I can take them clothes off and replace them with a new garment. The garment of what? Tehillah. Of a song of praise. See, this is so easy. The cloud comes in, the darkness comes in, I'm depressed. What do? I sing to the Lord. And I know people will hear this and say, but Pastor, I can't sing. I like a minister I listen to. He says this. He says, listen, everybody can sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody can sing. Amen. God's not impressed with your vocal abilities. He's impressed with your heart. And when your heart is to praise Him, and you just let that song of praise come out of your mouth, guess what happens? God inhabits that place. And it replaces that spirit of heaviness with some joy. Thank you, Jesus. In fact, let me go to one more verse. Ephesians chapter 5. And we'll close with this. Y'all getting anything out of this today? Yeah, y'all are going to be humming all week. Don't let that be the only thing you got out of today. There is a lot of good that you've heard today that will change your life if you're a doer of the word, not just a hearer. That's really key. Now, we've used this verse before, and it talks to a church that had already been baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Oh, praise the Lord. We've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, I can speak in tongues, Pastor. Praise the Lord. Are you Spirit-filled today? That's what's important. And that's why he says here, don't be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, do you remember this, though? How, Paul? How do you stay full of the Holy Ghost? Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the way you and I stay full of Him, abide in Him, have the anointing upon us that destroys the yoke is by what? Speaking. It actually says in the King James, speaking to ourselves. You know, you are your best preacher. You know, I have people come to me and say, you're my favorite preacher, Pastor. I wish you are your own favorite preacher. Because you take the truth you're learning and you preach it to yourself. Because, in case you haven't noticed, a lot of times I do this. This is a great counseling technique. You know what it is? Instead of telling people what the truth is, you know what you do? You ask them questions and let them discover the answer. You know why that's so effective? Because they're only going to believe themselves anyways. Most people only believe what they think. So if they found it, bless God, I'm hanging my hat on that. Well, if you preach it to yourself, what's going to happen? Boy, you get to know some truth. I mean, you start believing it. And you start embracing it. You start doing it and practicing it. And you stay full of the anointing of God. Amen. And that right there is the right way to live. Then you stay full of the new wine. Amen. Not the new tequila, the new wine, praise God. Through hymns, psalms, and spiritual songs. What does this mean? Well, the word psalms, in fact, almost every time the word psalms is used in the New Testament, it always refers to the Old Testament psalms. Okay? Which means, to me, it's describing scriptural music. That's one of the best things. It's like when you choose songs that you're going to sing, you choose songs, let it be scripture. I love that. I love when I find out we're singing a song and then I go find it in the psalms somewhere. You sing that, it keeps you full because the word is life. And then the word hymns is what we've been learning, right? Hymns is the song that have come maybe from human origin. somebody wrote this song. And there are some great songs. In fact, there are certain songs, like I think of How Great Is Our God or The Goodness of God. Some of these songs that have come through different generations that it's just very obvious the Lord's hand are on those songs. Because God helped people write them. And they're full of truth. And then the spiritual songs part's really good too, because what that shows me is it's actually the word that's used for spiritual is non-carnal. That means it didn't come from human origin. Where did it come from? The Holy Ghost on the inside of you. I've got some songs on my phone, on my voice recorder, that God got straight from the Holy Spirit that I guarantee you, if I can get them into the right hands, people would be blessed by them. Because they were Holy Ghost-inspired songs, and I would sing them unto the Lord. And what happens when you do this? The devil flees. Darkness goes. And we walk in the fullness of life where the anointing of God destroys every yoke, removes every burden, and we can find relief and gladness for our soul. Let's stand on our feet.